You're listening to the SoPod Network, now streaming on Apple, Spotify, and Google podcast platforms. Welcome to Lunch Table, Southern Company's unscripted dialogue series discussing today's important cultural matters. In this episode, Southern Company Executive Vice President Chris Womack sits down with a distinguished group of senior leaders to discuss topics such as Women's History Month, the opportunities afforded to them, challenges, and other cultural matters. And now, Chris Womack.
Hey guys, welcome. Welcome to the Lunch Table.
Thank you.
We did our first one back in February during Black History Month. It was a kind of simple idea to have an unscripted conversation about some cultural issues. And we started with Black History Month, and it went over pretty well, I think. I mean, from the feedback I know that I have received and some others who participated in the Lunch Table conversation also got some positive feedback. So we decided to continue it. And so here we are now in March, which is Women's History Month, and we decided to do another one. So guys, welcome to the Lunch Table.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining. Let's start with what does Women's History Month mean to us and to you and to the world? So, Miley, you want to get started?
Sure, thanks. And I'm so glad to join everybody for lunch today. Mm-hmm. So you're the odd person out, I'll say, Chris.
Why would you say that?
We celebrate women's history every day.
Yeah.
It is our life. But I do think that taking a moment and marking a period of time where we can recognize the contributions that women have made through history. Very often, I think, at least historically, that hasn't been noted in the way that it properly should have been. So I think as someone who has daughters, it's really important for me to empower them to know the contributions that women have made in every discipline.
Abby, what's your 2 cents? What's your perspective?
I was thinking about this. I think that, you know, 2 things come to mind for me when I think about it. And one is just gratitude. Like, I think it's a time of reflection and just I'm grateful for all of the women that are a part of my life, have been a part of my life, and then just the historical women before us that have kind of charted this mm-hmm. path for me to be able to get to where I am. But the other thing is courage, too, that it kind of gives me courage. And I have a daughter like you. And so, you know, I think about, you know, how do I need to step out and be more courageous in order to continue to chart that path and ensure that, you know, the next generation will have more freedom and access than I've had.
Yeah. Lisa, what do you think? What's your thoughts?
So this has been, Tammy and I were talking right before lunch. Everybody's journey is different, of course, but I can remember my first day at Georgia Power going to an AABE meeting, American Association of Blacks in Energy, and I saw female managers. And so I remember saying, wow, for the first time, I really thought it was possible to grow and mm-hmm. to be in leadership. And along the way, there have been people like Tammy who have been mentors and others that have just really helped to shape me and others. And this month, to me, is a time of reflecting on that and making sure that the legacy that I'm leaving is the same as the legacy that was afforded to me. And so, yes.
So, Tammy, Lisa said you were a mentor of hers and how you helped. I mean, so tell us about your story and what this day, what this month has meant to you.
So I was fortunate enough to be formally assigned Lisa in a mentoring program, but the best mentoring relationships are those where you really connect at a personal level. So I think those are the best mentoring relationships that you can have.
So as you decided to join Southern Company, Georgia Power, Alabama, whatever part of the company, did you have concerns about being a woman coming into this organization and thinking, okay, can I be all I can be? Will I get the opportunities to pursue whatever path I choose to pursue? I mean, what attracted you to the company? And then we'll get into kind of how's the journey been? I mean, whoever wants to jump in on it.
It's pretty simple for me. It was money. I was one of 2 female engineers graduating with my class at the University of Georgia in the year I graduated. Uh-huh. company wasn't hiring. I was lucky enough to get on. And
so did you give consideration about being a woman, or was that
no.
It was just about green, just about money?
It was really about, I joke about the money. It was about doing something I loved. I had was a summer intern.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with the company. I fell in love with what we do, keeping the lights on, getting the lights back on, right. Serving the customers. It took me several years to realize, oh, I am a woman, and I'm the only woman other than secretaries in the office for a very long period of my career.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Marla, you came in as kind of a mid-career hire.
Thank you for saying I was mid-career. That was so generous of you to say that, mid-career.
Yes.
Yeah. So this really was the first time that I have worked any place that I've worked with other women who, other than the secretarial corps. So for me, it was a lift and refreshing because I hadn't seen that in my previous work experiences. So I never really thought of it other than just, wow, look at all of these women. I had a peer network that I hadn't had in my work environment before. Coming in the way that I did, I had a very broad sort of social network, and I knew people at the company. But walking in the door and actually having that experience with colleagues was different and gratifying and freeing. You know, there were conversations that I could have that I'd never been able to have before. And I do think it was important coming in for me to really make sure that the younger women in my organization knew that I was accessible to them, because that would have mattered so much to me coming up when I was a young professional woman.
Yeah. Lisa, your thoughts? I mean, in terms of you choosing to join Georgia Power, no, which was your first company?
So I started out at Mississippi
Power.
You
did start at Mississippi?
Yes. So I'm from Mississippi. And so, you know, that's what I think about. The experiences that we all have as women, they started long before Georgia Power.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't hesitate or even think about it when I started at Mississippi Power or Georgia Power.
So it was a job?
It's a job.
Job opportunity.
Really, I would say probably in college is when I first realized, okay, I need to have a voice at the table. When we would do engineering projects, the only female most of the time, and could easily be overlooked. And so that started well before this opportunity with Mississippi Power. So I think with all of your experiences, you learn how to deal with situations and you just get better and better.
Yeah. And Abby, was that a consideration as you joined us a few years ago?
Not really. No. I don't think that really weighed in at all. My choice to come to Southern Company was more about seeing an opportunity that for a company that's in the middle of a business transformation opportunity and wanting to be a part of something transformational like that. I came from engineering and construction, heavily male-dominated industry. So when I came, it was actually refreshing, very similar to you. You know, I was like, wow, there is a lot of other women here working in all levels, which was exciting and refreshing to see. But I don't think it really weighed into my decision.
So as you do your day-to-day job and being a woman, the responsibility to lead and to help others come along the way. I mean, is that a big part of what you feel like you have to do on a given day as you carry out your responsibilities?
I think it's a pleasure and an honor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
I mean, what does
think
it feel like?
It,
I mean, what so does it? I mean, what does it feel like? What does it look like? I mean,
well, it occurred to me that there are people who are always rooting for you to be successful, and they're lifting and looking up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is a responsibility, but a joy in investing in them that I find it's important for me to do. And I don't know if that's just sort of a maternal element. I don't think so, but maybe it is. But just to cause people to understand that being authentic, being your best self, representing that will get you a long way, but that you need a network, you need a web of people who are lifting you up all along the way too, and that will help particularly younger women as they go through to be successful. There are so many. Again, it kind of blew my mind when I came into the company to see the number of women, and I'd want to be sure that I invest in them in a way that helps them lift their voice and helps them to make sure that their voices are heard at the table.
So is that kind of like an unwritten bond or rule, that helping, giving back, lifting up others?
It took me a while to get to that, honestly. I was so focused on doing the job, and it took examples from some of the folks I mentioned earlier and Kim, others, to kind of set that example that this is what I should be doing. So it took me a few years to get there. Fortunately, I was there by the time I think Lisa and I hooked up. This week alone, I got an email from an employee at Link telling me for Women's History Month, saying how much she appreciates how I can be a feminine leader. I've always been a tomboy. I don't even think of myself that way. But the fact that it's an employee who I'm not particularly close to, but they're watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me how important it is for us to set those examples and help plot that path forward for them.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, guys, take that line, feminine leader. I mean, how do you guys, comfortable with it? Uncomfortable?
I'm very comfortable.
Reality?
In my own skin, yes.
Real?
Yes, yes.
Very real?
You have to be. And, you know, as we talk about mentoring others or helping others, I'm a firm believer that your passion finds you, no matter if you're in engineering or working for an electric utility. I really genuinely grew up watching strong women in my family helping other women. So that's a passion. But what I've learned along the way is being truly candid with people, I had to get comfortable with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And realizing everyone is not going to listen.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the things as I've come along. There is, I believe, in supporting everyone, but particularly as I think about supporting women, you may not be able to help everyone.
Yeah.
And that's a reality.
Feminine leader.
I've had to grow into liking that term, I would say.
Yep.
I certainly started my career thinking I just check all that at the door, mm-hmm. come in buttoned up, do my job, show them that I'm going to kick whatever and do it really well, and leave everything kind of behind. And I've had to grow into opening up and letting people see who I am and seeing the benefits of that over time. And certainly becoming a leader of people was a huge step for me in figuring out how to do that a little better.
Yeah.
Not perfect at it, but doing it a little bit better and bringing kind of part of who I am, a working mother with a stay-at-home dad husband who likes to travel and enjoys, you know, working out and those types of things, bringing pieces of that to the table.
So, I mean, do you feel like ever you felt like, okay, I need to downplay my femininity or just downplay it? I'm just an employee. I'm not, you know.
So I wonder if that factored subconsciously
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Conceptually.
I pulled out a pink dress and I said, you know what? I can't do that.
Really?
I pulled out a green dress and said the same
Why?
Thing.
Why?
Because it's too girly.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. I feel the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just pulled out a black dress. But I don't know that I thought about it.
Huh.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those are considerations. I mean, we all have different considerations we go through mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think we also at sometimes make the decision to be feminine and to use some of our insight and our feelings and in having discussions with employees or thinking about strategy or whatever it is that we're doing, sometimes I realize that it's an asset I'm bringing to the table and I try to bring that.
Interesting.
I agree with you on that topic, too. I think, like, when I think about, you know, kind of solving problems or bringing multiple groups across the company together, we do a lot of that work where we're trying to just do collaboration across a lot of people that don't work together. And, you know, the role sometimes I play is empathy to an extent. And I think a woman plays that role very well because it's just really learning and understanding the perspective of all of these different parties and bringing that together. And that's something that I've seen that I think a woman exceeds at that just because we have that innate ability.
Changing gears, I mean, how do you guys feel? I mean, how do you feel like feedback in terms of feedback that you received, or have you gotten good feedback? Have men been comfortable giving you good, candid feedback, or is that something? Because I think for us to be the company we want to be in its totality, we got to be comfortable giving everybody good quality feedback. So, I mean, how do you guys feel like you kind of feedback you've gotten over your career, and what do we got to do to get better at it, if we need to get better at it?
So I've never worked for a woman, so I can't compare feedback from a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a responsibility from both parties to get feedback.
Yeah.
And so, yes, there's your review and there's a responsibility for your boss or your manager to sit down in front of you, but I've always taken it as my responsibility. So if there was a lull in the schedule, I'd plop myself down in front of my boss's chair and say, how am I doing? Mm-hmm. And let's talk about what we've got
so
going
you ask
on.
For it.
I asked for it.
Yeah, you
demand I've never had a boss where if
not
it wasn't
being afraid.
No. And I think that's what's required. People
give me the
are busy.
Good and the bad.
Yeah. What can I be working on? Right. This project is coming up. Am I going to be on it? You know, it's how do I get on it? What do I need to be doing? And I probably have never gone 6 months without forcing that.
So as we wrap up this segment of Lunch Table, your thoughts on what more we need to do inside of Southern Company to advance and make sure we're doing all we can and all we should do for all the women and females in our company. Just your random thoughts along that topic.
So I feel like the diversity initiatives that we've had and our perspective on diversity, I feel like we are doing the right things. Mm-hmm. The inclusion piece, we've talked about it, but depending on where you work, if you're outside of Metro Atlanta, it is still a sensitive subject. Mm-hmm. And so some of the female engineers that I talked to who were younger with the company, their story is the same as mine was back at Mississippi Power. Mm. And that's been over 20 some odd years ago. So the more that we can have conversations and really understand the inclusion piece, mm-hmm. that's what we need to do.
Robin?
The group that I worry about the most is the group that is probably a level below all of us sitting at the lunch table today. And the group that probably has a manager who isn't as supportive mm-hmm. as she needs, and that she's going to get stuck, and that there are going to be conversations had about her in the room that she's not mm-hmm. in, that she's not going to know and she's not going to understand and she's not going to agree with. Conversations like she has small children, mm-hmm. her husband's career is very important, or she might be wanting to have children soon. You know, those types of things that probably potentially are not words she's actually saying. And that's the group that I worry about is going to get stuck. And that's the group I worry about that will leave.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Myla?
So I think we have to be intentional with regard to that group. And I think that we have to be okay with causing discomfort in speaking on behalf of that group and advocating for that group and causing inclusion of that group. Because I think that the goal that we all have, I think the goal that the company has, is to be more perfect. And we have to just keep working at it. And I think conversations like this are a good first step.
I think you spoke to it in terms of people outside of Metro and outside of corporate headquarters. One of the more interesting, some of the most interesting feedback we received from the first segment of Lunch Table was from people outside of this corporate mm-hmm. building and outside in other places. They said, we didn't know you guys existed. We don't see you. We don't hear from you. We didn't realize you were having these kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. So it reached other people and I think gave people hope and excitement about some of the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the goals of the lunch table.
Listen and subscribe to SoPod Network on Apple, Spotify, and Google podcast platforms.